Hi, everyone. Have you ever wondered about league regulations? Like, how do they decide the number of courts played per league or the number of matches you have to play? Do you guys like the new rule at Nationals for over 40 that you play 4 courts per match instead of 5 courts? We are so excited to have Liz and Alicia here from USTA Nationals to tell us about this and more. So, Liz, can you tell us how you would change a league regulation?
So the way that our rules work, we actually have a National League Committee, and on that league committee, we have a regulation subcommittee. And so they're actually charged with voting on, deciding, and like doing all the language for the rules. And then the full league committee is the ones who actually vote on whether or not that rule will go into place or not. So a lot of times I think folks think that like, oh, if they call me, that I'm like able to change a rule. And it's a, right. It's a process for
sure.
We were
going to ask for your cell number.
Yeah. I was like, I've got a couple suggestions, Liz. Right. No, I'm kidding.
But well, along those lines though, so the way that it works is every fall, we open up for regulation proposal changes, and it's open to all the way down from players, you know, through our sections. And we do encourage if a player is, you know, wanting to put something through that they reach out to their section league coordinator. So it would be like Chris Walling in your guys' area to kind of help them vet through it. Cause there might be a reason that the player doesn't know about of like why we can or cannot do, you know, something like a bylaw that might prevent it or whatnot. But we've had several suggestions that have come up through players. And so then it goes through our section league coordinators. So all 17 of the section league coordinators get all of the proposals. So everyone that is submitted comes through them. We don't kick any of them out, you know, at the very beginning. And they take them back to their sections and they take it back to, you know, their EDs and their presidents and their section league coordinators and their local league coordinators and their, you know, committees. And so tons of people have input on these. And then we do early in the next year. So usually early January, we'll do a straw vote with all of the section league coordinators. And they kind of say, hey, this is how my section felt on this. And then it goes to a regulation subcommittee, which we're actually in the middle of that right now. We talk through the proposals and we look at, you know, what other regulations it would impact, would not impact, you know, what might be some unintended consequences of it. You know, is this going to help grow tennis, you know, things like that. And they kind of whittle down what they think has some legs that might actually be beneficial, you know, for the program. And then I think tomorrow is our call to vote on those. So I'm actually not a voting member of regulation subcommittee. I'm just the staff person on it. And then it goes to our full league committee at the annual meeting, which will be in April this year. And they're the ones who vote on it. But I do get lots of questions of, you know, I played a player on Thursday and then we found out she hadn't registered for the team yet and she didn't register until Saturday. Like, what do we do with that match? And so we have, you know, some guidelines of, you know, how you overturn, you know, things like that. Get a lot of ratings questions of, you know, folks that are, you know, wondering about how come this player is rated a, you know, a 3-5. They're, you know, definitely a 4-5 because they beat my number one singles player. You know, so those things I actually direct over. We have Heather Hawks who handles our NTRP ratings. I don't know if you guys know Heather. She's amazing. So, so smart. Gets ratings so, so well. And she handles all the tough questions. Like you will ask her and she will answer them. She does not skirt around them and have an aha. So she's great with that. So I usually send the ratings questions over there. But I actually have a call here in about a half an hour to talk with a gentleman about the 40 and over format that was put into play, which I think you guys kind of adopted to.
Carolyn's so not, but.
Yeah.
Carol doesn't know about the new format, but I do.
Yeah.
I know about it.
Yeah. So we had this new format that was intended for national championships only. And it kind of came out of our surveys that we got from the 40 and over groups at Nationals. Now that we're playing 4 matches guaranteed, and then if you win, you play 2 more on Sunday. We had singles players who were playing 6 matches in 72
That's
hours. They were dying and they were just, you know, the feedback from the captains was like, we love the number of team matches, but I just don't have enough singles players to, you know, be able to do 6 matches in this short amount of time. So when the regulation went into place, it actually only went into place for national championships. And then we allowed that sections
and
districts can do whatever they want. So they can continue to play 5 courts. They could go down to 3 if they needed to. They can play the 4 courts. Mm-hmm. And we didn't think as many areas would actually adopt it as they have. We're starting to see that it's not a favorite format, you know, in some of the local areas, which I understand that there's some areas that have plenty of singles players. So we really encourage players, or anybody who's listening out there on this, to really reach out to your local league coordinators and your section league coordinators and, you know, talk about for your area of what format would work best for you, because we really do provide that flexibility for the sections and the areas to play what works best for them. You know, when this regulation went into play, it definitely was not a everybody has to conform to this. We were really just looking at those 8 teams from each sections who come and play a 40 and over event at Nationals, because we wanted to make it the best experience as possible for them.
Okay, I have another question. This is actually for both of you. Do you both still play USTA? And the second part of that question is, do you have anything like funny or interesting things that happen on the court? Like, we always ask when we talk to people like you guys, like, do people know that you're league coordinators, or do they, like, you know, complain to you about certain things or say, we think you, you know, USTA should do X, Y, Z, or...
Because you guys are important.
Exactly. Like, do you want to start that,
Liz? Yeah, Liz, you want to take it?
Yeah. So I actually am playing in a league match tomorrow. It'll be my first one in a year. I'm back home in Arizona. This is where I was born and raised. And actually how I got started with USTA was with the Southwest section. I was a section league coordinator for them for 3 years before coming over to Nationals. I used to play a ton of tennis here. I was on every team that I could, you know, sign up for and be on. And I had a great tennis community. And then moving to Florida, I did play a couple of leagues there, but I just was so much busier with work, you know, with Nationals and traveling in the fall so much. So still playing, very excited to get back out on the court with my first captain. That's who I'm playing with tomorrow. She's a really good friend of mine. And then I probably going to try to play some tri-level with my mom. So my mom plays tennis. She's actually the one who got me into it. Yeah. So my funny story that goes along with playing tennis is I actually did not like tennis growing up. I played softball. I played competitively and I played through college. And my mom tried to get me and my brother into tennis. I think we were like 5. And I just remember standing on this huge court and it was so hot and the ball kept bouncing over my head. And the racket was like way heavy. And like our instructor wasn't great. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like take me home, you know? And then I really never paid much attention to it. You know, my mom played a little bit throughout, but then when I graduated from college, I kind of needed something to fill that competitive void. I mean, in softball, you need 18 people to, you know, have a game. And my body just couldn't handle softball. I was a catcher and like my knees, I'd had a couple shoulder surgeries. My body was done with that sport. And my mom was like, well, let's maybe take a class at the college. So we started at the local community college and I just had shoulder surgery. So I learned to play left-handed, which I think was best for me. Cause I think if I would have gone in right-handed, I would have got frustrated too early and been like, why am I not good at this? You know, another sport. So I think that was kind of a blessing in disguise with that piece. And then I was like, oh, they have these leagues. And so I just started captaining and I captained every level. So I did, you know, 40 and over for my mom's team. I did 55s for them too. I did 18s. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of is how I fell in love with USTA. So it's kind of my journey there. And still to this day, like, you know, up here, my mom still captains a lot, but she'll definitely be like, so we have this situation in this rule. And what's the, you know, and so we kind of have like, we have like set boundaries of like, I'm like, okay, we can talk tennis for 15 minutes. And then after that, we're going to be done because I've talked it all day long and I need a little bit of a break. But
yeah. How about you, Alicia? Are you still playing? And it sounds like you're probably working a ton as well, but are you able to get out and play?
Yeah, I'm looking to join a spring league in Florida. The spring and summer leagues are starting up real soon. I haven't had enough league play since I graduated college to have any sort of a funny story. I played on a mixed 18 and over team, and that was pretty fun. Tennis on campus, I have lots of stories because I was playing that for 4 years. I was thinking about, do I have anything that funny that happened on the court during tennis on campus? And one of my friends who I played doubles with all the time during a college, she said, well, do you remember this one time we had a tournament in Tallahassee and it was freezing cold that weekend? I think the tournament was in January and it was, oh my God, it was, I mean, Florida cold. So it was, you know, 40 degrees maybe in the morning. But we were all freezing. And so somebody brought hand warmers, this saint brought hand warmers for everybody. And I was warming up with the hand warmers. Like I would have a hand warmer in one hand and hit a forehand and then like kind of just try to switch it. And then we started playing and I was like, okay. And I just put like my hand warmer in like my right, the rim of my pants, I guess. And I was like, okay, just put it right there. And then we started playing and I forgot that I had put like my hand warmer in my waist. And I felt my hand warmer start to like slide down the side of my pants while I was playing. And I didn't like say anything. I was like, how do I tell people that my hand warmer is like sliding down my, in the middle of a point? And we ended up winning the match, but that was interesting. But
that's funny.
Most of my memories of playing tennis are playing with my dad, and my dad has played like his entire life, and he had me start playing when I was 4, and his parents played, and I mean, that's what we all say, right? That tennis is like a game for life. And
yeah,
it really is. Like, I played with my dad's parents, I mean, into their 80s, their early mid 80s, and
wow,
they're good. They're, you know, can't move like they used to.
Yes,
you hit
crap.
It to them, they yeah. know exactly what to do with it. And that was yeah. just a super special way to bond with your grandparents. I mean, I played soccer too, mostly growing up, and I can't, you know, play soccer with my grandparents.
Right.
But, right.
True.
But yeah. It was, yeah, it's a great sport. It really is.
Yeah. We had a lady on that I had mentioned earlier that didn't touch racket till she was 56. And she specifically picked up tennis because her kids played, right? She had Carolyn, she had
yeah,
three
kids. Yeah, one even played in college.
Played in college, yeah.
She never played.
But yeah. when they all left, she was, you know, she was lonely. I think she said something like they asked her, what did you want to do for Mother's Day? And she said, we all played tennis together on Mother's Day. And it was like the best one. She'll, you know, like it'll go down as like her best Mother's Day memory. So yeah, it really is a sport for life. And yeah, something that you can do with every generation in your family.
Oh yeah.
And maybe you'll have like Liz, who you can call and ask rules questions.
Yes.
Yeah, Liz, if I were you, I would, you know, every league match, I would like give a fake name or something. I'm not Liz Marietta, you know, who oversees rules and rec. The first league match I played was when I had already been hired into this role. And I went into my first league match, like, should I be undercover? Like, right. I wear, like, a baseball cap and a mustache or something. And the other people on my team were like, nobody's going to know unless you tell them.
Right. Oh, that's so funny.
Liz, have you been recognized? Has someone talked to you about it?
When I was at the Southwest section and the section link coordinator there, I got it all the time. You know, and at Nationals, not so much. In a sense, just because I haven't played nearly as much. I do, when we have teams that come from the Southwest section, they'll recognize me as their former coordinator. And they're like, hey, you know, we know you, you know, kind of deal. But yeah, it's kind of, I've been a little bit more incognito now in the national role when I'm playing, because no one knows who I am. So, which is fine. I'm good with that.
I thought your funny story was going to be that your mom introduced you as a USTA national person. And you can talk to her, Liz, about
right. My mom totally would
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, my
that
mom
would
too.
My parents, and if they listen to this, they'll laugh at this, but they, you know, because they're so proud, they're like, this is my daughter. Right. She works for USTA National. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no.
Right.
With
your baseball cap on.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks again to Liz and Alicia. We had so much fun talking with them, and we learned a lot as well. If you'd like to see a picture of Liz and Alicia, please check out our Facebook page, which is Second Serve Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and hope to see you on the courts soon.